Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP practitioner, and an AEP, that's an accredited estate planner, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. Listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is June 26, 2019. The markets were pretty flat today. The Dow closing at 26,536, the NASDAQ at 79.09, and the S&P at 29.13. Our topic tonight is charitable giving. I thought it would be very appropriate to talk about charitable giving while we are doing our end of fiscal year fund drive. So stay tuned to hear about some ideas for charitable giving. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C's in the studio, but the calls will go through to Pledge Central. You'll give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and she'll bring it in to me, and I'll do my best to answer them. So we're not talking live on air tonight, but I will take off-air questions. And if you need to email your question, you can do that as well through yourfinancialchoices.com. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. So tonight, charitable giving. So I think it's important to revisit this from time to time. We did have some tax changes with the recent tax act that changed maybe people's ability to itemize their deductions and get a benefit from making charitable contributions. So the concern was, are people going to maybe decrease their charitable giving? It's nice to think that people won't. It's nice to think that people will continue to be philanthropic despite tax savings, but I think it would be silly to not think that people are inspired or incented to make charitable giving when they're getting somewhat of a tax benefit from it. So I think it's important to revisit what charitable giving options people have in this new tax environment. So we'll talk about that tonight. I did see, I heard actually, and it was probably on NPR now that I'm thinking about it, something that there was a little bit of a decline in charitable giving. And I think there's conversation about why would there have been a decrease in charitable giving. And there was an article by Richard Eisenberg of PBS where he cited a study that individual giving declined 1.1% in 2018, and it fell 3.4% adjusted for inflation. And that was according to Giving USA 2019, the annual report on philanthropy for the year 2018. And giving by individuals decreased as a percentage of total giving from 70% in 2017 to 68% in 2018. So I think the article, I didn't read the whole article, but it went on to talk about, is it because of the changes in the tax law, or could it be that, you know, the market was a bit more volatile in 2018? 2017 was a pretty good year, 2018 a little bit more volatile. Could it be that people were just more concerned, especially in that last quarter of 2018 when the market really had dropped quite a bit? And quite often that's when a lot of people are reviewing their charitable giving at the end of the year. So could it have been from that versus the changes in the tax structure? So I thought it's important to continue to talk about ways to give charitably, even if you don't itemize. So first, let's kind of talk about what happened with the Tax Act. So they raised or doubled the standard deduction for people. So when people go to file their tax return, back in the day, you got exemptions for how many people were in your household and your dependents, that kind of thing. And you got a standard deduction based on your filing status, single, married filing joint, head of household, married filing separate. There were different standard deductions. That standard deduction was supposed to be kind of like a catch-all for people who, to give you the benefit of, you know, maybe being a homeowner and having certain, you know, charitable giving intent, but such that you kind of benefited from this standard deduction. But for people who spent more than what they, you know, however the IRS calculated what equated to the standard deduction, if you spent more on mortgage interest, real estate taxes, charitable giving, you could itemize your deductions on Schedule A. And typically, that was, as I said, taxes, state and local taxes, real estate taxes, charitable deductions, mortgage interest, and then a few other things, sometimes medical deductions if they were over certain limitations. So if your itemized deductions on Schedule A were more than your standard deduction, you would itemize. Well, the standard deductions in 2017, let's say for single would be $6,000 and for married filing joint, $12,000. They basically doubled those. So in 2018, we saw a standard deduction for single people go up to $12,000 and the standard deduction for married filing joint go up to $24,000. So people who may have benefited from itemizing in the past, if their standard deduction was only, you know, $12,000, and their real estate taxes, charitable giving, mortgage interest was $16,000, they benefited a little bit, really that difference between the standard deduction and those itemized totals. So you would itemize. Well, when they doubled it to 24, so many more people weren't going to itemize. So that could cause a lot of efficiencies and tax processing for the IRS. So that could make that a little bit easier. It could make it easier for taxpayers who no longer have to gather all their receipts for their charitable giving. They don't have to get their medical expenses, you know, gathered together. They don't have to pay attention to the real estate tax bills. So that could cause a lot of efficiencies and make it a lot better. But what happens is if I'm now getting that standard deduction, I may not be paying attention as much to those extra deductions I could get, the charitable giving and medical expenses, things like that. So if people continue to itemize, then they may still continue to benefit from charitable giving. What I want to point out, though, is if I am now married filing joint and the standard deduction is $24,000 and my taxes, which are now, the tax deduction is now capped at $10,000 plus my mortgage interest plus my charitable giving, let's say it's $25,000. Well, I'm really only benefiting by $1,000 and my charitable giving might have been $10,000, but I'm only benefiting over the standard deduction by $1,000. All right. So what we want to talk about is, does it make sense to rethink how we're doing our charitable giving such that we're still getting a benefit from our charitable giving and doing it in a really smart way where you can still take advantage of this large standard deduction? And you need to understand some of the basic rules around charitable giving, but you also want to make sure that you understand all the opportunities that are there, especially for people who are 70 and a half or older who have individual retirement accounts. So anyone listening right now, if you are 70 and a half or older and you have an individual retirement account, you have some of the best opportunities for charitable giving and getting some of the best benefits for charitable giving. And that includes your giving even to organizations such as WDIY. So this applies to 501c3 organizations that if you are an owner of an IRA, you are 70 and a half, you love giving to some of your favorite nonprofit organizations, but you say, hey, I don't, you know, itemize anymore. Maybe I shouldn't bother doing that anymore. But if you want to continue that support that so many of these organizations rely on day to day, month to month, year to year, and you value the contributions that these nonprofits make, this is a great way. It's one of my favorite ways to talk to clients about giving from their wealth. So I'll tell you more about that when we come back from our first break. You are listening to WDIY. We are in our fund drive, our fiscal year-end fund drive right now, and I'm going to ask Seamus McGrogan to join us in the studio to tell us what's going on. Seamus, how are we doing with our fiscal year-end fund drive?
Well, we've been hearing from a lot of people out there, and it's really nice hearing from new members especially, and those members who haven't had a chance to give recently to the station. It's great to have people back in the fold, people who have never given before. This is an opportunity for you, if you haven't had that chance, to support us at a really important time. And if you've been listening, you've been hearing us talk a little bit about the equipment upgrades that we want to do for the station. And as we get to the end of the fiscal year, it's the time for us to balance the books and make sure that we can do all these things that we want to do to better serve you. So as long as we have equipment that's working in good order and is up to date and working well, then we could bring you great new things like the planned app for smartphones that we're going to roll out before the end of the year. So please support us now if you value Lori's show, if you value the other public affairs programs that we have, or the music or the NPR. This is a great time to give, and it will go a long way. $60 for the year gets you the basic membership, or you can choose to give monthly at $10 a month or $10 every other month as a sustaining member. It'll all get you access to the weekly member ticket giveaway emails. It will get you discounts on events that we do throughout the year. But most importantly, it will support your listening at this time. So that number to give a call or to ask a question to Lori is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, or going online to wdiy.org.
If they go online at wdiy.org, is it pretty obvious where they click to donate?
Oh, yeah, it's right at the top. It says donate, and it's our new what is it? It's our new green color, but there is a special name for it. I forget the exact color of green.
Well,
you know,
we'll have to find that out. but it's pretty obvious.
It's right at the top. There's a green button that says donate right at the top of the page, and you click there, and it just takes, you know, a minute, and you just put your information in, and you're done.
So they can use a credit card for that.
Yes.
And then can they also opt in for the monthly sustaining membership level through the website, or do it all at once? Either way.
It's all going to be there on the site. You pick what you want to give. You can select, I'm giving a one-time gift, or you can select, I want to give this much every month. It's totally up to you.
Okay, wonderful. And some of the equipment you talked about, people might not realize that we have to use some of this equipment every week when we come in to do these live call-in shows, because I know that people call in and Lori has to put the calls through to the studio, and it can get quite complicated.
Yep, it is all connected. You know, if we want to do one thing that may seem real simple, like put phone callers on the air or play a certain selection from a music album, or, you know, get our NPR feed on the air, all of that takes equipment to run. And, you know, we need to keep an eye on that and make sure it's working in good order, because that's how we can serve you.
Okay. So fiscal year end fund drive, we can take calls, 610-758-8810. If folks have questions about giving and how they can give, we can take those calls and questions. And I hope that through the rest of the hour, I can give them some ideas on giving that make it much easier for them to be able to do that.
Sure thing.
And even if they're not getting a tax deduction, it's still valuable information that they get each and every week, whether it's public affairs programs or enjoying some of the music that we have.
We hope it informs you about the world, your community, and provides some enjoyment for you.
And that's worth something, whether we get a tax deduction for it or not. Okay, thank you, Seamus. We appreciate it. Folks, Shandi, do we have to take a break on top of this? Okay, we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY.org. We've mentioned it's our fiscal year, end of fiscal year membership drive, and the phone number to call in with questions or to become a member if you're listening and have not been a member of WDIY. The phone number is 610-758-8810 or go online at WDIY.org. I happen to be also talking about charitable giving tonight, and I hinted at this strategy before our last break about charitable giving through your IRA, and this applies if you are age 70 and a half. So if you are age 70 and a half or older, you're subject to required minimum distributions. You can make what's called a qualified charitable distribution directly from your IRA to your favorite nonprofit 501c3. You simply call your custodian or call your financial advisor. Maybe you have online access and you request a qualified charitable distribution. You need the name of the nonprofit, the 501c3. You need their name. I don't think you necessarily need their address. They're going to mail the check to you. It's going to be payable to the nonprofit. And then you can deliver the check to the nonprofit, get a receipt. What happens then at tax time next year, when you get your 1099-R, which is the tax reporting document telling what your distribution was from your IRA, you want to let your accountant know, or if you self-prepare, you want to make an adjustment to that tax document. So, for example, if your required minimum distribution for the year is $10,000 and you decide to give $1,000 to an organization such as WDIY, you can request from the custodian a $1,000 check to WDIY. You get a receipt showing that you did the $1,000. Then at tax time, you take your 1099-R and you adjust the $10,000 to by $1,000 to report only the taxable amount. And then on the tax return, generally there's a way for you in your software, or if you're self-preparing, you're going to write code QCD next to the IRA distribution. And that will tell the IRS $10,000 was the distribution, only $9,000 was taxed. The difference is the qualified charitable distribution amount. You keep your receipt, and that proves to the IRS that you made a charitable contribution directly out of your IRA, and it's not taxable. And the beauty of that is if you don't itemize, because the higher standard deduction, as I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, you are still getting a full benefit for that charitable deduction, even though you didn't have to itemize. So that $1,000 comes off your taxable income, and you still get the benefit of the much larger standard deduction that we have under the recent tax reform. Now, where this really gets nice is there are certain people who are receiving Social Security. Maybe you have Social Security, maybe you have some IRA distributions, maybe you have a little bit of a pension, maybe a little bit of investment income. Well, what happens when we have Social Security? Social Security is taxed based on how much other income we have on our tax return. So if someone has just Social Security and that's it, then they probably don't have any income tax because none of their Social Security would be taxed because they have no other income, okay? If though, there are people who have, there's a worksheet to calculate how much of your Social Security is going to be taxed, and it depends on your filing status and your other income. So there's a worksheet that you have to go through, and there's thresholds. So what happens is, if you're one of those people who is kind of like in between, I call it the sweet spot, where if you put more income on your return, more of your Social Security gets taxed. Well, here's the sweet thing. If you have to take out required minimum distributions and you give some of it to charity, you're taking income off your return. So if you're taking some of your IRA off your return and reducing that income, and you're in that sweet spot, you might also be reducing some of your taxable Social Security. So you could be saving way more than the tax rate, the effective tax rate on your IRA distribution. So let's pretend you're in a 12% tax bracket. $1,000 would save you $120. That might not sound like much to some people, but hey, if you found $5 on the floor, wouldn't you pick it up? Well, $120 looks even better. So 12% tax bracket, $1,000 saves you $120. But if you're in that sweet spot and you took $1,000 off your return, you actually could be taking up to like $1,850 off your tax return because some of the social taxable Social Security won't be taxed now. So you could actually save a much higher effective tax rate on that. All right. I hope it doesn't sound complicated to people because this is really fun. You guys, we're at our second break. If you would like to call in, ask questions, or become a member, the number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices, and welcome back to the end of our fiscal year membership drive right here at WDIY. And Seamus McGrogan has joined us in the studio.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, welcome back.
Happy to be here, and I'm enjoying listening to the program today. It's all about charitable giving. Lori always picks very timely topics to talk about. Evaluating how you're giving to charities is always good no matter what time of year it is. And here at WDIY, we think about how we're balancing our books and how we're going to better serve you, because the better a nonprofit like WDIY runs, the better service we can provide, the better programming, how smoothly we run, all of that is wrapped up in that. So that's the whole goal at the end of the fiscal year drive that we're doing right now. We're only taking this till Friday. We're not going to take up too much of your time because we know that you tune in for the uninterrupted programming, but it really is important that we come to you right now. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't important. So if you've never given to the station, we're asking you to do that. $60 for the year is a basic membership. $10 a month or $10 every other month, that will also get you a membership as a sustaining member. And that's a great way to support the station, giving a little bit each month. It's like budgeting. Mm-hmm. And Lori knows a thing or two about that.
That's right. And, you know, I want to point out the value of the education that the station provides, too, that the programs that you bring are very educational oriented. I hope that through listening to the show each week of Your Financial Choices, that people are hopefully implementing some of these financial ideas we have and have in their coffers some extra money to help support the programs here so that we can keep bringing you this educational material.
Education is one of the primary goals that we have as an organization. We want to educate the public. We want to make sure they're well-informed. They know what's going on in their backyard. They're making better choices. And we know that the people who tune into WDIY care about their community, and they want to be informed about these things. So if that sounds like you, you're in the right place. And now is a great time to give back and support WDIY during our end of fiscal year drive. Help us with some of the equipment upgrades that we're trying to do as we go from one fiscal year to the next. The way to do that is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, or going online to wdiy.org. And that's also where you can ask a question for Lori as well.
Thank you, Seamus. And folks, I would love to have some calls during the show here. I take a lot of pride in the listeners of Your Financial Choices supporting the station, and I really would love some new members, and hope they're out there listening tonight at this moment and call in 610-758-8810. Okay, thank you, Seamus.
Sure thing.
Folks, we are talking about charitable giving. And we mentioned already one of my favorite ways for charitable giving right now is for people who are in that required minimum distribution age of 70 and a half. I had someone ask a question once. Can you, if you have a required minimum distribution from an inherited IRA, does that qualify? It does not unless you are age 70 and a half. So you have to be age 70 and a half in order to be able to do these qualified charitable distributions. And it can be up to $100,000, not more than $100,000. And so if your required minimum distribution is $8,000, you don't have to do $100,000, but you also don't have to do $8,000. And I think it's really important that people understand that. You can do any part of your required minimum distribution just not more than $100,000. Well, you want to make sure you're thinking about your charitable giving and how you do that and when you do it. You want to make sure that you are getting some advantage. You wouldn't want to give away your whole required minimum distribution if you're in a zero tax bracket, maybe. You might want to coordinate some of your other tax planning, maybe put some other income on your return, maybe do a Roth conversion or something like that. So you want to do some planning. I did have a question come in from Ted in Hellertown. Ted, thanks so much for calling in. He said he had a rental property he sold. He has to pay capital gains. How to calculate that? He bought it in 1971, renting it out in 1987, and in 1987 value for tax purposes. Does he have to get an appraisal or a retroactive appraisal? Ted, what would have happened, you bought it in 1971. You might still have a settlement sheet laying around somewhere. Hopefully you kept that in your files. And you've probably done improvements to the property. Now, you said you didn't rent it out until 1987. So between 1971 and 1987, you might have done some improvements to the property then that you'd want to keep track of. In 1987, when you went to rent it out, if you were working with an accountant, they would have asked you probably for the settlement sheet and probably for any improvements you would have done. In 1987, what you could have depreciated the property for would have been the lower of cost or market. So if in 1987, the purchase price plus all the repair or improvements, not repairs, improvements, capital improvements that you had done to the property, let's pretend it was $150,000. But then in 1987, maybe the market was down. Actually, I think it was pretty good back then in 87. But let's pretend it was down and your property was only worth $100,000. Well, went for depreciation purposes, you would have taken the lower of cost or market. So in that case, it would have been 100. But I mean, market, lower of cost or market. So if the market was 100, you would have used 100. Chances are it was cost, so it was 150,000. You could have depreciated it over 27 and a half years. So 97, 2007, 27 and a half years. We're already past that, so it would be fully depreciated. So when you go to sell it, if you have worked with an accountant and you have it in the software, typically you can just click a few buttons and say the sale, and it will automatically calculate the gains. So basically, if this has been depreciated 100%, now you might have had some other improvements since 1987 that you also would have depreciated, but you're going to have capital gains on probably the full profit. How the capital gains tax works, though, is to the extent of depreciation, it's going to be capped at like 25%. It's like an ordinary income kind of recapture of the depreciation that you took. But then you're going to have the capital gains tax rates apply on the gain outside of the depreciation. All right. So if you paid, the cost basis was $150,000, you depreciated the whole thing for $150,000, but you sold it for $250,000, $100,000 of it would be the regular capital gains. So it's a little complicated, and I'm kind of giving you a little bit of some generalities because there might be some other tweaks that have to be done to it. And you also have to factor in the sale, you know, some of the commissions and selling cost on the sale. So you need to factor that in. There was something else I was thinking of that we're going to have to factor in. I can't think of what else I was going to say about it, but you really need to have someone, you know, kind of help you through that. So there will be probably two different kinds of capital gains tax on your gain. All right. So that's that. That's all I can remember about that. You know, this is general advice, but this is a case, Ted, where I think that you need to make sure that you do it all right and get the best tax benefits, et cetera, that you can. So good job on getting that sold, but the settlement sheet on the purchase, settlement sheet on the sale if needed. But you should have depreciation schedules with all the details of the property over the period of time that you rented it out. Okay, folks, we are continuing our discussion about charitable giving. Another favorite charitable giving method for me might be cash or outright giving, but sometimes the cash gifts aren't going to give you maybe the bang that you want when we have now tax reform with higher standard deductions. So what is a way to give to your favorite nonprofit if you don't itemize where you can still get a tax benefit? Let's say you say, Lori, I'm not 70 and a half. I can't do that required minimum distribution yet. What options do I have? Well, if you have appreciated securities or appreciated stock, I'm going to tell you about a way that you can still get a tax benefit from your charitable giving. We'll do that after our next break. If you have questions or you want more information on contributing to our end of fiscal year membership drive, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You have been listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert on WDIY 88.1 Allentown. Your current temperature right now is 83. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 65. It's Thursday, sunny with a high near 87. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 65. Friday, you're going to have a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny with a high near 89. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Saturday, you're going to have be hot, partly sunny with a high near 88. Saturday night, mostly clear, low around 69. And Sunday, a chance of showers and storms after 2 p.m., but partly sunny with a high near 84. WDIY 88.1. Now back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi. Welcome back, folks. We are talking about charitable giving this evening. The phone number is 610-758-8810. But, of course, you can ask questions off topic as well, as Ted did from Hellertown earlier. And we love hearing from people across our community, across the Lehigh Valley, into New Jersey. We've even had people call from Georgia and D.C., people who may be listening through the NPR website, which also features the program. So, of course, you can mention that to friends and family and relatives who are outside the listening area as well. They can always listen online at WDIY.org or through podcasts that are available on the website under local programming, Your Financial Choices, or you can search for the program on NPR.org as well. So this evening we are talking about charitable giving and also doing our end of fiscal year membership drive. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And I hope that we get some new members calling in this evening as well and become a member. It's a great opportunity, a great organization to be involved in, and you get tweets from Seamus. He does a great job getting out information about our programming on Twitter, on Facebook, and our weekly emails as well, which is really great to let everyone know what's coming up for the coming week, and also on the membership giveaways that they do as well on a weekly basis. So WDIY.org for online giving or call in at 610-758-8810. In charitable giving, one of the other favorite ways of giving for folks who may not be itemizing their deductions anymore but still want to be charitably inclined, you can donate appreciated securities to your favorite 501c3 organization as well. And in donating long-term appreciated securities, meaning you've owned it more than a year and it's appreciated in value, if you sold it, you would have capital gains and pay capital gains tax and state tax on the gain. In lieu of doing that, you might say, hey, I've been meaning to trim off a little bit of this appreciated stock. I just haven't wanted to do it because I've had such big gains on it. I don't want to have the tax hit. Well, you can donate appreciated to securities to most 501c3s. Occasionally, you'll find a 501c3 that might be a little small and may not be set up to accept those appreciated securities. But even WDIY accepts those. So if you have appreciated securities, let's say you have a stock that you bought and $10 and it's now worth $100. So you have a 10% cost basis and you have 90% gain on it. Well, you might have a $100,000 position of that, but maybe you just want to make a donation of $1,000. Well, you can donate enough shares to equal that $1,000. You don't have to donate the whole position. You can say, I want to donate $1,000 worth of this position to my favorite 501c3. You get the instructions, the information for the nonprofit as to where the stock should be transferred, and you let your financial advisor or your custodian know, I want to transfer these shares to this 501c3. Here is their information, and they take care of the paperwork. Out goes the $1,000. You get a receipt showing that you made the contribution. So even though you are not going to itemize deductions, don't throw away those receipts. You still want to keep your receipts for your charitable giving, especially in the circumstances of these qualified charitable distributions from the IRAs that I mentioned, but also from your securities account. So if you've transferred out $1,000, your cost basis was $100, the gain was $900, guess what? You don't have to report that gain on your tax return. So you just saved probably 15% of long-term capital gains tax on that. And if you're a Pennsylvania resident, you just saved 3.07% on the gain on your Pennsylvania tax return. So there's a way to save taxes without having to itemize. So we've talked about two of those ways tonight. We've talked about the required minimum distribution, qualified charitable distribution, and now we've talked about the appreciated securities. So typically that's long-term. If you wanted to donate short-term, meaning securities that you've had less than a year, then you can only deduct the cost basis of those. So it's really positions that are over a year. And that really can make a lot of sense for people who've had, you know, positions, maybe they inherited them forever ago. I have seen where people sit on positions for quite a while because maybe it's not a bad stock to hold, that, you know, nothing's really propelling them to get rid of it, but maybe they have too large of an exposure to it. So they want to trim off some of that exposure. This is a great opportunity to do that. So appreciated securities. Now, the IRS does have limitations on how much we deduct if we're itemizing. That limitation doesn't apply with the qualified charitable distribution, other than you can't do more than $100,000. And with the appreciated securities, if we're not doing the itemizing, then there's no limitation on that. We're just giving the donation and we're not getting a deduction anyway. So that makes sense if it's just a small amount under our standard deduction amount. But if we are itemizing and we are doing larger charitable giving, then there will be some limitations. So if you are donating cash, the IRS will limit your deduction on your Schedule A to no more than 60% of your page one income. It really is rare, for as long as I've been doing tax returns, it really is rare that someone exceeds that kind of limitation, that threshold. That's cash gifts. So 60% of page one income or adjusted gross income, a 60% limitation. So if I keep saying page one, we don't have page one anymore. If my income is $100,000 and I made a deduction of cash of $100,000, well, it's going to be limited to $60,000. What happens to the extra 40? Well, it carries forward to future years for you to use. So you could carry it forward for 5 years. But what happens if you just have the standard deduction next year and you might not still be able to itemize? Well, if you have a carryover of 5 years, you do have to reduce it for the amount that you would have been eligible to deduct if you had itemized, so based on those limitations. But still, some great ways to give even without itemizing. So let's pretend you do itemize. Appreciated securities are still a great way to give. In fact, that's even better than cash as far as I'm concerned, because you're getting the deduction for the fair market value, just like you would with cash. But you're also avoiding the long-term capital gains rate tax on the appreciation for federal, and you're also saving the tax at the state level. So appreciated securities are still great to use, even if you're itemizing, again, long-term appreciated securities. With that, though, the limitation of your deduction is a little different than if you were giving cash. So it's 30% of your adjusted gross income. So you just want to make sure that you're planning. And that is something I also wanted to talk about tonight. When we talk about charitable giving, how thoughtful are we when we're facing our charitable giving? You know, we think about charitable giving, it's time, it's talent, and it's treasure. And generally, our nonprofits love our time, they love our talent, and they really love our treasure. So if you are someone who is charitably inclined and want to be philanthropic, let's think about some of the smartest ways for you to do that. Think it through. Don't just, you know, be random about it, because you might save yourself some taxes, but you also... you know, just want to make sure that you're doing it, maybe even to the organizations that are responsible and out there in the community and really making a difference. So we have some organizations in our community. They're helping watch out for how our dollars are spent. So you can always do giving through those kinds of organizations, whether it's the United Way, who works with community groups to make sure that their mission is being fulfilled, and that there's accountable and there's metrics for making sure that these nonprofits are making a difference in the community in the right way. Foundations such as Lehigh Community Foundation, Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, you can work with them and target certain organizations that you may want to benefit from your dollars and your giving, but maybe you're not sure which organizations, so they could help you vet those organizations, and they're out in the community and they understand what the nonprofits in our Lehigh Valley, what kind of efforts they're making, what kind of progress they're making, are they making a difference? So you can work with nonprofit organizations such as those, like kind of high level, almost like an umbrella, United Way, Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. I'm sure there's some others in the community. Or you can give direct to certain nonprofit organizations. Maybe you're involved with them yourself, hands-on, and that can make a difference. So let's just think about how we're doing your giving. One of the things that we've also talked about with clients is if we have such a higher standard deduction, but we're really charitably inclined, but we just miss it. Maybe we do $10,000 a year to charity, but maybe we don't work or we don't have a home, and we're never going to hit that standard deduction threshold. We can bunch our deductions into 1 year. Again, sometimes you have to have some extra assets to do this, to kind of do it in a bunch. And you could do 5 years worth of giving all in 1 year. You could do that all at once to the nonprofit. Some people like to make sure they're doing their giving annually. Well, if you want to do that, there are other options. There's something called a donor advised fund, where you can make a contribution to the donor advised fund, whether it's cash or what did we talk about was our favorite, appreciated securities. You can make that kind of a contribution to a donor advised fund, get the deduction all in 1 year, really bulk that up so that you end up itemizing and getting the benefit of that. And then in subsequent years, you just use the standard deduction. So you get the extra oomph in 1 year, donating maybe 4 or 5 years, whatever it might be, worth of deduction in 1 year into a donor advised fund. If you use appreciated securities, again, you don't pay the tax on the gain. There is a limit on that as well, you know, to the adjusted gross income. So you want to make sure you're doing this all right. But then the difference between doing it outright to the nonprofit is with the donor advised fund, you do it all in 1 year, get the deduction on your tax return in 1 year, but then you do the granting out of the donor advised fund as you see fit over X number of years. So you can still continue to make your charitable giving annually if you want from a donor advised fund, but because you kind of bunched it all up, the big amounts into 1 year, you did benefit maybe from the tax deduction that you wouldn't have had you just continued to do $10,000 a year for 5 years. So after 5 years, $10,000 a year, you do $50,000, you had no tax savings at all. But if I did $50,000 of appreciated securities today, you bet I'm going to be itemizing my deductions. And if I used appreciated securities, I already saved on the capital gains tax on that gain for federal and state purposes. So it's about kind of taking the time to sit down and say, what do we really want to do? And you can always include your favorite nonprofits in your estate planning as well. And I'm going to talk about that when we come back from this next break. Folks, you are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. You can call with questions or to pledge to our end of fiscal year membership drive at 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Whoops, welcome back to the show. I was taking a little drink of water. Thanks, folks. We are here at our end of fiscal year membership drive here at WDIY. This is your host, Lori Siebert of Your Financial Choices. And I think it's really important that we all make great financial choices. We're here every week. We're coming up on our 10th year anniversary at WDIY this fall. 10 years of giving hopefully really good financial advice and education, and it's members like you or new members potentially listening and contributing to keep the station going. Seamus, how's it going over there?
Well, it's going well. We want to give a thank you to Ted from Hoartown.
Oh, thank you, Ted.
From the Appalachian Fiddle and Bluegrass Association. So thank you, Ted, for your membership donation. You're helping us along the way. We'd love for you to join Ted and all the others who have contributed during this end of fiscal year drive by calling 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org. With this drive, it's an important time for the station. You know, one fiscal year into the next, you want to make sure all your finances are balanced. You want to make sure you're in the black and that you're well positioned to go to the next fiscal year. And WDIY is really eyeing serving our listeners better. And we have lots of equipment upgrades that we'd like to put into place so we can do some great things. One of the things that we'd like to do is to launch our own smartphone app. And we are eyeing an end of the year target date for that we can roll out to everybody. So what that will allow you to do is have the station available at a push of a button right at your fingertips anytime. No need to go to TuneIn or log on to the website or anything like that. And this will also allow you to listen back to the public affairs programs, which you can do at the website now, but this will be an easy way to do it right from the app. And you could also listen back to all the music programs on demand anytime you want for up to 2 weeks. So it's lots of great features our listeners have been asking for all in one place. It's just one example, though. In order to do this and other things, we need to make sure the equipment here is in good working order. We have the right equipment to do all this, you know. So that costs money, and we're coming to you now just this 1 week to raise a little bit of funds. So if you'd like to help, and if you haven't given to the station or it's been a while since you've given, consider supporting us with a gift of $60 for the year. That's a basic membership gift, or becoming a sustaining member. Giving an amount every single month could be $10, $12, whatever you think is comfortable. 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org.
And Seamus, we don't want to limit people to $60 or $120. If someone wants to give $1,000, they certainly can. If they want to give $10,000, they certainly can.
Of course. Any amount that you can give helps. If you can give more, absolutely, that'll help and have an even greater impact.
Okay. Well, we're happy to have you here. And just a reminder that WDIY is a nonprofit and run by, how many volunteers do we have here?
We have over 100 volunteers.
Okay, over 100 volunteers. So they're doing everything they already can to save money here. They run a very good, tight, efficient ship. But the equipment and the small staff that we have to keep do need support.
So we would appreciate your support right now. And putting into practice some of the advice that Lori has given you.
Okay, 610-758-8810. Thanks, Seamus. I do want to mention, especially when we talk about big dollars, because there are people who like to make sizable contributions to their favorite 501c3s for whatever reason. Sometimes it could be that they had happy memories. Sometimes it could be religious reasons. Sometimes it could be a social reason. Sometimes it could be an education reason. So you could have any number of reasons for why you pick a particular nonprofit 501c to support. And you can do that sometimes through your estate planning as well. We've talked a little bit about lifetime giving, whether it's cash giving, appreciated securities, qualified charitable distributions from your IRA once you're age 70 and a half or older, and donor-advised funds, even estate planning. But what I like to make sure that people understand when they're talking about giving through their estate, I have had people who say, you know, I'm going to make sure I have the money I need during my lifetime, so I'm not so charitably inclined while I'm alive, but I will make sure I do something when I pass. And sometimes we see people who might not have children, who maybe have been involved with some organizations, maybe they've been volunteers themselves, maybe they love their alma mater, whatever that reason might be, and they have very philanthropic wishes at their passing. So when we look at estate planning, we also want to make sure that people are giving in a smart way. So, for example, if someone says, I want to give $100,000 to my favorite charity in my will, and they go to their attorney and they say, please make this specific gift of $100,000 to this charity, and everything else goes to my family, my children or my wife, whatever it might be, my family. If they also have assets that are taxable assets, such as IRAs or 401ks, then giving $100,000 of cash to the charity that doesn't pay taxes might not make as much sense as giving $100,000 of an IRA to a charity. Okay, so we want to be thoughtful about our giving. And, you know, maybe you say, well, I'm going to be gone. What do I care? It's not my taxes to pay. It's my kids or my wife or my neighbor or my friend or whatever it might be who was going to get this retirement account. But when we talk about charitable giving, quite often we also talk about being good stewards of our money. And if we are good stewards of our money and we can be smarter about how we're giving, then we actually can give more. So we want to think about that when we're doing our estate planning, if we want to include nonprofits. The other thing I like to mention is when we have people who are very charitably inclined, you might want to think about, can you afford to do some charitable giving during your lifetime? Maybe you don't need, you know, as much money as you think in your years. Maybe you have enough. I mean, I've had people who have had $15 million and they're worried they're going to run out of money at age 94. So, you know, it's a different way of thinking sometimes for people. It's how you're brought up. It's, did you go through the Depression? Did your parents go through the Depression, or your grandparents, whatever? I guess it would be grandparents probably at this point. That makes them, you know, feel like they're going to run out of money. So talking with an advisor and kind of looking at your overall, or an attorney, about your estate planning and thinking about what is kind of a really good way to be a steward of your estate and in passing it. But at the same time, if you can do some of it while you're alive, I just think it's absolutely wonderful for people to be able to see live, you know, the fruits of their giving and see it implemented in the community, whether it's at, you know, someplace like WDIY, and seeing our great expansion of our signal, you know, that comes from generous people in the community. So think about whether we want to do something during our life. So we've talked about cash giving. We've talked about appreciated securities, donor-advised funds, qualified charitable distributions. We mentioned what kind of organizations are you giving to, such as organizations in the community who may be the oversight for you, that you're not having to run around and check all the charities to see if they're doing the, you know, fulfilling the mission that they were meant to be fulfilling. Organizations such as the United Way or the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. We've talked a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about personal property. This is something I see sometimes where people will come in and let's say you're itemizing anyway, and you come in and you say, hey, I made all these donations to Goodwill. I gave them $5,000 worth of stuff. And you hand your receipts over, and we look at the receipts to the Goodwill, and it's, three bags, $1,000, two bags, $1,000. Well, the IRS is not going to look on that favorably. The personal property has to be thrift shop value. And there's a couple websites out there to help people value what is thrift shop value as it applies to your donations that you're making, whether it's that nice, really expensive blazer or sweater or fancy shoes or whatever it might be that you're donating. Salvation Army has a website, and I think the Goodwill also has a website that provides metrics for valuing what is considered thrift shop value for some of these things. And if you are going to donate personal property, you also have to have a receipt. You have to have the address of the place where you made the donation, the date, and the description of the property, and the value that you also applied to that. You can't give your receipt to your accountant that says three bags on it and here, put this on my tax return, because the accountant has no idea what you gave away and no idea what it would be valued at. So that's really your responsibility to figure that out. Another place where people get confused is they may buy raffle tickets for, a drawing at the church, and that doesn't count as a charitable donation. It's a game of chance. So that does not count as a charitable donation. If you make a contribution to a nonprofit, maybe for an item to auction off, then your deduction is basically your cost. So if I bought a painting for $100 and I donate it to a nonprofit, to a 501c3 to auction off, and it gets $1,000 at the auction, and I only paid $100 for it, my charitable deduction is $100. It's not the $1,000. And the person who paid $1,000, it's not a charitable deduction for them for $1,000, because they get to deduct the difference between the fair market value and what they paid for it. So if the nonprofit organization took my painting that I paid $100 for and they had it evaluated and they said, wow, this is really worth $400, and it goes to their charity auction and someone pays, bids it up $1,000 because they love this nonprofit and they bid it up to $1,000. Well, I get the deduction for $100. The person who the nonprofit said this is really worth $400, and the person who bid $1,000, they would only get the difference between the fair market value and the $1,000. So they get a deduction for $600. We're not getting a deduction between all of us for the $1,000 because part of it was charitable, part of it was cost basis, and part of it was just the fair market value. All right, so be careful on things like that. Folks, I hope that we still have a few minutes left, that we get a few more callers before the end of the hour to help with our end of fiscal year membership drive. And I hope that for folks who stay tuned during this, that you learned a little bit about charitable giving. It's such a valuable benefit to our nonprofits, to our community, and to you yourself to feel like you're contributing and giving back in some way. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And of course, you can give online at wdiy.org as well. Seamus mentioned it's right there, front and center on the website, wdiy.org. And again, 610-758-8810. If you're a new listener, you can call, become a member, and then listen to all the podcasts of the shows we've done in the past 10 years. I don't know how many are up on the website, but if you go to wdiy.org under local programming and look for your financial choices, you'll find that information there. I also do a quarterly segment of Lehigh Valley Discourse called Lessons with Leaders, and that, I believe, is also on the website. And I've interviewed such people as J.B. Riley, Dave Jandel, Rick Anderson from St. Luke's, Cassie Hilgert from ArtsQuest, Jane Wells Schooley, the president of Albright College, and most recently I interviewed Don Cunningham, and that'll be airing tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So it was a great interview with Don Cunningham. We all know his name in our community, but we really get to know him in this interview, him personally. So I really, really enjoyed the interview with him. Folks, again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I want to mention next week we have a pre-recorded show, and July 10th I'm going to have Tim Roof and Connor Darrell, who will join me to review the market for the second quarter of 2019. I want to thank Ted for calling in and for the contribution.